You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's the best place on the whole planet for you to be right at this moment. If you're joining us for the very, very, very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really, really good habit to get into. I mean, you know, we develop all kinds of habits through our lives, right? Well, this is an excellent habit to have. It's not one you even have to worry about breaking at any time, ever, because it's a good addiction. We're going to be... I've got to tell you, I forgot about this. If you are brand new, you don't know, but we have a free weekly newsletter called the K-Files E-Zine. Now, the K-Files E-Zine is really easy for you to subscribe to. You just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Just go over to my website, and you'll see the little ad for it. You'll see it. It's in red letters. It's called K-Files E-Zine. It takes about 10 seconds. Subscribe to it. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Each and every edition that comes out has an unsubscribe link. And if you want out, you're out. Okay, it's that simple. We don't share our email list with anybody. Okay, so we don't loan it out. We don't give it away. We don't sell it, rent it, lease it. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of subscribing. I had an article in this last edition of the K-Files E-Zine, and it has also been published over at Alien Seeker News, about water on Mars, the discovery of water on Mars. And we've been running a poll on the website asking people if they think that perhaps NASA has known about life on Mars for a long time. And it's pretty amazing, but the last time I checked, is a very high percentage, about 80%, said yes, they think NASA has known there is life on Mars and have known for a long time. Well, we're going to get into that a little bit tonight. We're going to get into, is there life on Mars? What you think about that? What kind of life do you think would be there? Do you think it's intelligent life, or do you think it's microbial, or perhaps small animals, or what do you think it might be? Plant life, maybe. We're going to be discussing that in relation to some new information we now have about the water and soil content on Mars. There's some been a further development as they continue to analyze. We're going to be talking about that. When we come back from this break, we have a break coming up here in just a few seconds. And when we come back from this break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you something that I probably should not tell you, but I'm going to do it anyway. The members already know, those of you who are members, that's one of the benefits of being a member. You know, you can listen to the show free, but being a member, you get advance notice on a lot of stuff, and you even get discounts on a lot of stuff. So we'll be back with that information right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steeleye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Thousands of brain veterans left without a return to the war. Many of whom have suffered devastating injuries and made a supreme sacrifice for our freedom. You can help these American heroes, and we really do hold the keys to take the future in your hands. Ransom Vet is an actual organization that acquires home-use vehicles by donation, motorhomes, and sometimes even boats for placement with disabled and homeless veterans. We make necessary repairs to the vehicle. We fit it with handicap assistive hardware, driving controls, wheelchair ramps, and then we give these vehicles to the disabled veteran or the homeless veteran free of charge. You can change a life and show your appreciation by donating a vehicle to GL Automotive, MasterVets.org. Please contact us at www.MasterVets.org. Thank you, and God bless America.
10, 9.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Show unique in the galaxy.
And welcome back. I told you that I have some big news. The members already know about this. And I want to underscore once again that that is, in fact, a benefit. Not the only benefit, but it's one of the benefits of being a member is you get a heads up on important developments, things that are coming down the road, all right? You know, we're going to be talking about this a little bit tonight. It's Open Line Live. I'm pretty sure that some of you will want to talk about Edgar Mitchell, but Edgar Mitchell will be my guest on Wednesday. All right. Now let me qualify that. Edgar Mitchell keeps a schedule wherein he has to go to sleep early at night. All right. So the only time that he can do the interview will be in the morning. Pretty neat, isn't it? Just kill the mic and cough. So anyway, I talked with him on the telephone for several minutes today, and I'll have the opportunity to interview him on Wednesday morning. Now, depending on post-production of that, we're planning on that Wednesday or Thursday, all right? So, but the point is this, and it's an important point, and that is that we have the opportunity here on the Kevin Smith Show to hear and very often talk to some of the top people in their field all over the world. I mean, just consider the type of people that we normally get to talk to here and that you get to hear. But we're going to have the opportunity, as I said, to talk with Edgar Mitchell. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, I got to tell you, it was a I was like a kid in a candy store when I talked to him today. I mean, how many times do you get to talk with a NASA astronaut on the telephone and just carry on a conversation with a NASA astronaut? And here's the sixth man to stand on the moon, holds the record for being out on the lunar surface longer than any other of the astronauts. And, you know, I got a chance to talk to him. So I kind of was like a kid in a candy store. Can't help it. Yeah, that's the way I am. But I'm that way when I get a chance to talk to you. And I'm not kidding, because you are what makes this show happen. People who listen to this show for the first time, people who just tune in and they're listening for the first time, a lot of times, you know, they'll hear me say things like that and they don't realize that I actually mean it. But I do actually mean it. I absolutely actually mean that this show is all about you. You make it happen. You are the people who send in the suggestions for who we should have as guests. Very often, you are the people who provide the contact information so I can get in touch with those potential guests. And it's one of our listeners who provided that contact information so that I could get in touch with Dr. Edgar Mitchell. It's Open Line Live. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. I got a couple of things on mine. It's about all mine can handle. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing super, Don.
Yeah, hey, it's great news hearing Dr. Mitchell is going to be on Wednesday. It sounds like, though, we're not going to get to ask him questions, right, since it's going to be a pre-recorded show?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I sure hope you do ask him about if he's ever seen any type of structures or he knows of any alien presence on the moon.
I asked him that today. You want me to tell you what he said, or do you want me to? Okay.
Oh, I want to know.
Yeah, we talked about the glass structures that Richard Hoagland says are in the photographs.
Yeah.
And he said, he didn't say Richard Hoagland is nuts, but about the idea that there are glass structures there, he said, that's nuts. He said, honestly, he said, I didn't see anything like that. They're just not there.
So he didn't claim to have any information, any other source that says there's been something there, like aliens or anything.
I don't understand the question. Say it again.
Well, has he had any other sources that's told him that there's been something there?
That I didn't ask him.
Okay.
I just asked about, you know, what he saw.
Well, I will get this information out in my newsletter. I'll send out an extra. I wish I would have known about it earlier. I could have sent it out today. I'm sure everybody's going to want to stay tuned and listen to this show.
Well, I'll tell you, I would have let you know earlier, but he was in meetings all day. And so I didn't get a chance to talk with him until about 5 minutes. That conversation ended about 5 minutes before you got that heads up as a member.
Anyways, this sounds great. It's going to be a dynamite show.
I think so.
Okay, Kevin. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Looks like me and my allergies are going to dance tonight. Oh, well, that happens. I think it's going to be a great show, and I'm really looking forward to it. I did have a chance to meet and talk with another astronaut several years ago, Jim Halsall, and that's when I was living in West Monroe, Louisiana. He is from there, and we had the opportunity to meet him and talk to him. And my kids were so thrilled. And then my son and my daughter, my oldest son and my daughter, were invited to be a part of the ham radio hookup at the high school where they were, as the space shuttle flew over, they got a chance to talk with or the kids. My kids didn't talk to him, but the kids there did get a chance to talk to him while he was in space. And that was a cool deal. That's some of the neat stuff astronauts do for their home crowds, and that's a good thing. It's very, very good. It promotes the study of sciences, and I think that's an important thing. All right, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. It is open line, and I am absolutely like a kid in a candy store waiting to hear from you. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Yeah, Kevin?
Yes, you're live on the air.
I'm sorry, I got mute again. I was wondering, I was seeing on the internet that over the 4th of July that we had a flurry of UFOs over the United States, and there was also reported one that supposedly crashed in California, but they couldn't find any traces of it.
Yeah, I read that report. There were eyewitnesses that saw it crash, and I think even, if I remember correctly, even heard the crash.
Yeah, but, the department went out and everything, they said, but they couldn't find anything.
Right. What do you make of that?
I don't know. It's good news to hear that you got a hold of Edgar. Maybe you'll be able to enlighten us on that a little bit, it could have been a satellite or something, but I was watching it on the video, and it seemed like it changed directions and stuff, too, as it came down and stuff was burning off of it, so I don't know. Don't know what to think.
Yeah. Well, what's mysterious to me is that there was no debris found, no crash site found.
Yeah, it must have totally disintegrated. I don't know. Or it's invisible.
Well, that might be. I mean, I was on the internet looking for videos that I can use on Steel Eye Media Network, and I found a very amazing video. I've seen it before, but it's a video where in Japan they have developed a material that, if you make clothing out of it, you can see what's behind you, and other people can see through you. They can see what's coming up behind you.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that demonstrated on the internet.
Yeah, very amazing stuff. Yeah.
And it shows the background and reflects it to the front. Yeah, I've seen that. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah. So I got a chance to download that. We'll be showing that on Steel Eye Media Network.
Yeah, I heard about one other thing on a mountain in Washington State where they go and see objects and stuff. And he reported that an ET, a gray or whatever, showed up and he witnessed it. And this other craft came along and zapped it, but they couldn't see the mess on the ground. But this other aircraft was hovering around that area like it was cleaning it up. So, I don't know.
So, a UFO shows up and zaps an ET?
Throughout their saucer. And and they seen it down it and stuff, but then they didn't see it crash, or they couldn't see it.
Okay, so what happened to the gray alien that was on the ground?
He got back to his ship, and they took off, and this other UFO came up after him. After, because they must realize they were there. I don't know what happened, but this was The other aircraft showed up after this one appeared to these people that was on the mountain and, you know, knocked it out of the air. And when it went to the ground, they couldn't see it anymore.
Well, what knocked it out of the air?
This thing was kept circling that.
What knocked it out of the air?
Laser. Some kind of ray.
I'm confused now. All right, so UFO number one shows up. And then UFO number two shows up and hits it with a ray?
Yeah, as he was trying to, take off and, get out of there. He said that another UFO showed up, they encountered each other.
I got a question. If they're not friendly to each other and they're shooting each other out of the sky, what makes people suspect that they're going to be friendly and benevolent to us?
Well, I'm assuming, personally, I believe that the Greys aren't our friends, and that the other aircraft that showed up and took care of them was either us and our technology or someone that's an alien civilization that is more kind to us.
Wow. When did this happen?
I must have read about this probably 6 months ago or so, I think it's been.
Well, Dick Criswell has been on the show and has talked about UFO activity in his part of the country where the UFOs were shooting at each other.
Yeah, I've been hearing quite a bit about space wars. Yeah, there's been a few reports of them fighting out. I've even seen and heard stuff about them close to the sun, and there have been flying saucers, big ones sighted around the sun, and they seem to be having combat. I don't know what that's all about or how true that is, but it was on the internet, and they showed the sun and where these things were at and everything.
Be a hot war, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure, Sam. Bye.
All right, bye. All right, 1-623-581-5148 is the number. 1-623-581-5148. And I'll be more than happy to take your call, and let's see what's on your mind. In the absence of that, let's talk about water on Mars for a moment. Water on Mars. Now, I wrote an article about it in this past issue of the K-Files e-zine. And as I said, that article was picked up by and published by the AlienSeekerNews.com as well. And basically, that article says they've known about water on Mars for a long, long time. This is just the first time this Pioneer mission, it's Phoenix. This Phoenix mission, it's just the first time that they've been able to, as the scientists associated with the Phoenix project said, to touch it and taste it. Now, not literally. Yeah, they touched it literally. They scooped it up with a little scoop that's on the lander. And when they say taste it, what they mean is they scooped it up, they put it into a little experimental oven or a little laboratory that they have on board, and heated it up and then measured the content of the gases coming off of it as it evaporated. And so they were able to say definitively it's water. But they have known for a long time that there is water. And they've known that for a couple of reasons, or because of a couple of reasons. Their satellites have been telling them that there's water, based on analysis, spectral analysis, and so forth. They've said, we think there's a whole lot of water ice. But this time, they were able to say definitively, It is water. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Millie from Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, Millie.
Hi. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the about this thing that they say? They say found in Mars something, and something, you know, something huge, and they told the president about it. That was the biggest mistake anybody could ever do, but they did it. They went, they told Bush about it, and now we have to be, you know, we have to wait if he decides to tell us or not.
Well,
so what do you think it is?
Here's the, as far as I know, and this is based on just what's in the published news. I don't have any inside information. But based on the published news, NASA has briefed the president on the potential for life on Mars. And they are saying that... let's see, how did they say it? The TARG, T-A-R-G experiment, they're keeping that very, very quiet until the public announcement, but they have briefed the president on the potential for life on Mars.
Because as far as they told us, the Phoenix was not prepared to examine a microbe and stuff like that, you know, what kind of life.
Yeah, the only thing that the Phoenix can do is whatever the Phoenix lander scoops up, mm-hmm. it's got a whole bunch of little ovens on it, and whatever it scoops up, it drops into one of those ovens, and then closes the hatch, and the oven really gets hot, and it vaporizes whatever is in there, and then. The next thing that happens is it analyzes the gases coming off of it so that it can tell whether it has the ingredients for life. Millie, we're into a break. I want to thank you for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back. More with Open Line Live here at the Kevin Smith Show right after this. Don't go away.
Fill her up and foot to the floor. Oh, yeah. Life
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live, and that means that whatever is on your mind, we'll be more than happy to talk about it. And all you have to do is call the telephone number. It is 1-623-581-5148. Now, this thing with the water, I think, is a very, very significant thing. Because you are aware of the fact that back in April of 1999, the Hubble Space Telescope was aimed at Mars. And it snapped some really curious pictures. More than curious, they scream there's water and lots of it. Because what it photographed was a gigantic hurricane. Now, that hurricane on Mars was actually four times larger than the state of Texas. Imagine that. Over a million square miles. That hurricane was gigantic. The eye of that hurricane was about the size of the state of Texas. Four times the size of the state of Texas. Now, if you read my article, you know that I went to NASA's website, and NASA does a lot of weather research with their satellites and so forth, and they have an article there about what does it take for a hurricane or a cyclone to start. And by the way, for those of you on the other side of the planet from where I'm seated, what we call a hurricane, you call a cyclone. So, what does it take? Well, it takes a whole lot of water. And it's got to be very warm water. Here on the Earth, that would have to be at 82 degrees Fahrenheit and or above. You have to have a thick, humidity-laden atmosphere. So, again, a lot of water in the air. You have to have strong winds, unstable atmosphere, and a lot of rain. Lots of rain. Now, when all of that combines together, you can have a cyclone. That's what NASA says starts a cyclone. So using NASA's information about what starts a cyclone, and then you look at that one over on Mars, gigantic, absolutely humongous, gigantic cyclone that was on Mars. The pictures were released in May of 1999, but the pictures were shot in April. They were released to the public in May. You look at that and imagine this. Every cyclone on Earth starts out in the ocean. You have to have deep water. It can't start in shallow water. It's got to be deep water, about 150 feet or more. And it's got to be warm water. Now, the conditions on Mars are different than they are here. And I don't think we've been told all the truth about the conditions on Mars, but I think a lot of it that we have been told is true, and it is further away from the sun, and so it's colder, and so you probably don't have to have water that's 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
But obviously, you have to have liquid water, so it's got to be warmer than freezing. So maybe 40 degrees, 45 degrees would do. I don't know. And, you know, maybe it's the temperature differential that makes the difference here. But you've got to have a lot of water. And here on the Earth, they start out in the ocean. And the ocean is bigger than the cyclone, is it not? The ocean is much bigger than the cyclone. Now, we're looking at a cyclone on Mars. That cyclone on Mars, according to the scientists that analyzed it, and I printed the quote in the article, they said it's not dust. It is ice crystals like the cyclones that we have here. And you know, a cyclone here is ice crystals at the top. And then as those fall, they melt and turn into rain, turn into water. And you've got massive amounts of wind. They tell us that atmosphere on Mars is just so thin it can, you know, it's just almost non-existent. Well, that can't be the case. It simply can't be the case. Because there's that photograph of that cyclone, and it's four times the size of the state of Texas. Massive amounts of wind, massive amounts of water, and it's warmer than freezing. Now, freezing in Fahrenheit, freezing is 32 degrees. If you're on the Celsius system or the centigrade system, it is zero. So we're talking about a massive amount of deep water that is warmer than zero Celsius, warmer than 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And it has to be quite a bit warmer. We know that at 82 degrees Fahrenheit, that's warm water. That's very warm water. And you got to have a thick, wet atmosphere and high winds and rain, lots of rain. According to NASA, that's what it takes to start a cyclone. So when we look at those pictures, those photographs of the cyclone on Mars, we're looking, well, although we can't see an ocean, we're looking at the evidence that there is one. Now, maybe it's not liquid water all the time. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it is just a massive, huge amount of water ice that for some reason in April of 1999 suddenly warmed up, melted, and dumped all kinds, evaporated all kinds of massive amounts of water into the air. Nevertheless, at that moment, there was an ocean. Now, you can't see an ocean in those photographs, but you do see the results of one. You do see the evidence that there has to be one. Maybe it's frozen most of the time, or maybe not. I don't know. I'd like to know what you think about all of this. And I'd like to know what do you think, and by the way, it is open line, so if you want to talk about something else, feel free to do so. But do you think that there is a liquid water ocean? Now, we're not talking about, you know, something the size of the Great Lakes here. We're talking about a big ocean. It has to be there in order for that cyclone to have been there. It just has to be. I know the conditions are different on Mars, but physics are not different. The physics involved in forming a cyclone would be the same, I would think, on Mars as it would be here. Although, I understand it may be the temperature differentials that make the difference instead of the actual temperature. But we do know that at the moment that that cyclone started, there had to be a massive amount of deep, warm water. Or you could not have had that cyclone. So what do you think about that? And, you know, NASA has known about this for a long time. They haven't, to their credit, they did not keep that cyclone a secret. To their credit, that information came out pretty contemporaneously with the event itself. It was the photographs, as I said, were shot in April of 1999. In May of 1999, the photographs were released to the public, and along with a report from the scientists from Hubble Space Telescope that analyzed the photographs. And it took a month from the time they shot the pictures until the time they released the pictures and the report. That's not bad. That's really not too bad at all. That's pretty quick. So they've known about liquid water on Mars for a long time. They say, and this is what's kind of interesting, they say that liquid water cannot exist on the surface of Mars because the atmosphere is so thin that it would just almost instantaneously evaporate. It would go, if you have a big chunk, according to what they say, if you got a big chunk of ice, water ice, on Mars, and then for some reason it really warms up pretty quickly during the day and it starts to melt, it won't melt, they say. They say it almost instantaneously transforms from solid to gas, because the atmosphere is so thin on Mars. Well, I fail to see how that works and produce a cyclone four times the size of Texas. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don again. Did you happen to catch that picture I added to your story on my site? It shows, as I was searching, I wanted a headline picture to go over. You sent me some pictures, but I wanted a headline picture to add there.
Yeah.
And it's referred to as the Crater Lake of Mars.
Yeah.
Have you seen that before?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay. I have a very large image of that, so much more detail. So.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about it, we're talking about a cyclone four times the size of Texas. It didn't start in a crater lake.
Oh, no, I realize that, but it is showing water, though.
Yeah.
It's showing water very, very clearly.
There are some other photographs of Mars that, in my opinion, very clearly show flowing water. And you can see the waves and ripples.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, when you look at it, you're looking at water. I, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe it's methane. I don't know, but it's liquid.
Yeah, well, I kind of hard to find this as methane. I mean, it could be frozen ice in that crater. It looks kind of, but it's still, you know, still water.
Yeah, I doubt that you have frozen methane or liquid methane on Mars. It's just not cold enough for that.
So anyways, very interesting. So hopefully...
So what do you think? We got an ocean up there or what?
You know, I don't know. You know, when you were saying that, I was wondering about that because even amateur astronomers who's taken pictures of Mars, wouldn't we be able to see some type of ocean?
Well, you would think so, and that's why I say maybe this ocean is frozen most of the time, and for some reason, maybe volcanic activity, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it suddenly began to melt. Now, how would you get all that water into the air? Well, if it evaporates so fast as what they're saying, that would do it. However, the other conditions for a cyclone say you have to have a thick atmosphere of warm, wet air. So, you know, I don't know. The hurricane stands out there and yells, the cyclone yells, that the conditions on Mars are quite different from what we've been told. Don, we're into a break. Got to run, man.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
Welcome back. It is Open Line Live. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I've been talking about some of the strange stuff associated with this Mars and water and all of that announcement that has come out. I've got the telephone number up on the screen for those of you who are watching, and you can see it says the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. Once again, 1-623-581-5148. Why does it matter? Or does it matter? What do you think about it? Why does it matter whether we discover water on Mars and whether that water is salt water or whether it is fresh water, or whether it is contaminated in any way? And there seems to be some evidence now that it may be a little bit contaminated by perchlorate. As they've continued to analyze the sample, they have found perchlorate in it, and they say that might be bad news. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hi, Charles.
Good evening.
How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Good.
I heard you speculating about the hurricane on Mars there.
Yeah, have you seen the picture?
No, I haven't seen the picture. I was looking at the Viking atmospheric measurements of the atmospheric composition of Mars.
All right.
And Mars is mostly... our atmosphere is mostly carbon dioxide, 95.32%. But 2.7% of it is nitrogen. And at those temperatures and pressures, it seems to me likely that we're seeing liquid nitrogen, and that the weather-looking-like dynamics we're seeing are fueled by the heat differences in nitrogen instead of water.
Well... the scientists that analyzed it said it was water.
Huh.
That's why I'm saying somebody isn't telling us the whole truth here. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're lying to us. It may mean that there are dynamics at work. You know, I described something, which is maybe you've got an ocean that is frozen solid most of the time, but every once in a great while, for some reason, thaws out rapidly. And maybe the dynamics of that rapid thaw could start a cyclone like that. I don't know.
Well, they say that sometimes it can get as hot as, 5 degrees centigrade.
I'll tell you what. Near the equator, it gets to 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow. That would certainly melt water.
Well, it would, except this was in the North Polar region.
Uh-huh.
That's why, you know...
that's why I think it's some other gas besides water.
Not according to the scientists.
What do they know?
Well, yeah, I'm both quoting them and questioning them. They analyzed it. They thought at first it was a massive, you know, you see these dust devils, these whirlwinds of dust on Mars in a lot of photographs that have come back. And at first that's what they thought it was. They thought it was just one massive dust storm. And when they analyzed it, I guess they did spectrographical analysis or spectrographic analysis of it. They said, no, that's water. And in fact, they said, just like the systems we have here on Earth. And hey, this is really interesting. Now, I'm quoting this Dr. Bell, who was the lead scientist on this, and he said these systems arise and dissipate rapidly, and he said it's typical. So if it's typical, that means that they've seen this before, and we're only, you know, we're looking at one set of photographs, and we're assuming this has happened once, you know, in recent history. He's saying it's typical.
Well, it must be typical if it happens. If it happens that we've seen it, it probably happens often enough that it's fairly typical.
Yeah, and I think, of course, this is the first time, and as far as we know, the only time that the Hubble Space Telescope has photographed it. However, if he's saying it's typical, they must have information that it happens rather frequently.
Yeah, they must have other photographs or other information.
Yeah. Which, again, if it is typical, then it's not a one-time weird experience that a frozen ocean suddenly evaporated. If it's typical, I'm saying there's, and they're saying it's water, then I'm saying there's a liquid ocean.
Well, there's water vapor in the air somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. We've never seen a cyclone that size on Earth.
At the pressure in Mars, at the pressures on Mars, I imagine water will vaporize at a lot lower temperature.
I would think so. And, you know, I was saying that while the temperatures would be probably different, the dynamics would be the same, the physics would be the same. So where here you have to have, like, water that is 82 degrees Fahrenheit or hotter in order to start a cyclone, there maybe it's 40 degrees or 45 degrees, who knows, but it certainly is above 32 degrees. It has to be liquid.
Yeah, it has to be vapor, and it has to be in vapor stage.
Yeah, and there to be four times the size of Texas, there has to be a lot of it.
Of course, water freezes on Earth at 32. At a lower temperature, water will freeze at a lower pressure. Rather, water will freeze at a lower temperature.
Well, that's true, but the differential is still there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, who knows what the temperature of the water is? But it is above freezing. It's liquid.
Well, perplexing me.
Go on the internet and go to images, Google Images, and type in Mars cyclone. You'll see the Hubble Space Telescope pictures of it.
I'll go do that.
Or you can look in your K-Files e-zine, and it's published there for last week.
I seem to have gotten dropped from the list somehow.
Well, that happens if your email bounces back to us three times.
Yeah.
And what are you on Comcast.net?
No, I'm on well.
Okay, that's good enough. Comcast was filtering email, and I complained to them that what they were doing was exercising illegal and unconstitutional prior restraint of trade, and. They said that no problem. They were going to unblock the K-Files e-zine, and everybody would get it.
Well, good.
But there are some others that are doing that. And by the way, the federal government, the federal courts have just ruled that Comcast did, in fact, break the law in doing the email filtering they were doing.
Huh.
So,
well, it must be a law against it, because obviously the Constitution wouldn't apply since they're not a governmental entity.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Is it possible for you to deny somebody their constitutional rights as an individual?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean...
Yeah, so can a business.
Well, yes, to a certain extent, but there are laws that have been passed that are constitution-like. That would in that that cause businesses to have to not discriminate. But under the Constitution, the regular old plain old Constitution, no, it's just strictly the government that can't discriminate.
Yeah. Check the laws that have been passed, though, about one business doing something to restrain the trade of another business.
Yes, there are. There are restraint of trade laws and all of those things.
Yeah.
And, that certainly would apply.
All right. I have got to run. I've got another couple of calls lined up, but thank you for the call.
All right.
And take a look at those photographs.
I'll be doing it.
All right. Yeah, it's always a battle. It has been from the beginning for us to get information out to people. And although we've never had to take any of the big companies to court, we have had to stand up for our rights and with those companies. And so far, they've responded in a positive manner. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Trey, you willing to hang on through the break, man?
Sure.
All right, because we have a break coming up in 1 second. There it is. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith, and Trey is waiting online. Trey, you still with me?
I'm with you.
All right. What's on your mind this evening?
I was going to say that the numbers the last caller read out sounds exactly the opposite of what we are. It said there was mostly carbon dioxide and a little bit of nitrogen, and we're, you know, mostly nitrogen and, you know, a very small amount of carbon dioxide. And the only thing that's missing, I guess, is, you know, the number two element, which would, you know, be oxygen.
Well, there's about 1% oxygen.
1%.
On Mars, so they say. And that may be true. However, you know, when you, all I'm trying to do in discussing all of this evening is to put together these various pieces of the jigsaw puzzle and show they don't seem to match.
Yeah, no, you're right, because we remember that one article that you had talked about that, you know, that they talked about storm clouds on Mars and stated, like, oh, yeah, there's been water on Mars. We've known that, like, you know, silly, we've told you that years ago, you know. And one thing I'll say is because this could be the beginning of a terraforming deal, that, you know, maybe now, since there's been rain since this picture, maybe there's actually plant life now, and the plant life is converting the, you know, carbon dioxide into oxygen, and maybe now there's more oxygen since that last statistic was taken. But if that's storm clouds and it's raining, you know, odds are there's going to be some plant life eventually, you know.
What do you make of those photographs? I'm pretty sure you've seen them. I've published them on my website before. I've published them in the K-Files e-zine and in the magazine. NASA photographs of what appear to be gigantic trees and even forests.
Well, yeah, that would make sense. But what wouldn't make sense is that last stat. So if there's a forest on Mars, I guarantee you, there's going to have to be more oxygen now than there was in that, you know, when they took the last statistic that we were just read. So, you know,
well,
here's
something I wonder. Mars has no magnetic field around it protecting it like the Earth has. But that doesn't mean there's no magnetism on Mars. There are magnetic fields that are local and localized, and they run sort of in a straight line. I mean, when you find one, it's like a bar of magnetism. And so there are these little areas where there is magnetic field, okay? And they're scattered out around Mars, and they've kind of mapped those. They've discovered those with the satellites. And I wonder if the atmosphere and if the biosphere is different when you're inside one of those little magnetic bubbles. Because it would, see, that would be, that magnetic bubble would be protecting you from some of the ultraviolet light and cosmic radiation. Maybe not as much as our magnetic field does, but it would do some. So I wonder if the biosphere inside of one of those little magnetic regions would be different than outside.
Well, that's a good question. And you remember that one picture that you had on your website that showed the hole, and it was like it was, you know, going inside the planet. Maybe that was, you know, built to get water inside the planet to those different little sections that they've got, you know, bubbled off. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't think that Mars would be able to, you know, and have life on the surface again anytime soon, enough to support enough oxygen to support us. But if we're not being told the truth on the numbers, well, then we just really don't know. You know.
Well, you see, I think we are being told the truth
as far as they know it, on the composition of the atmosphere. But I don't think that we've been told the truth about the thickness of that atmosphere.
No, and they hadn't even changed any of the documentaries either, because I just saw something on the Science Channel. I don't even watch them anymore because, you know, it's a lot of it's old stuff, and they were talking about how if there was any water on Mars, it would instantly turn to ice because it's so cold there because there's no atmosphere. And this is just, you know, this is a month and a half ago on the Science Channel. So, no, they're clearly science. We know mainstream science is behind. But, you know, if they haven't just, you know, just flushed a lot of these old documentaries talking about the atmosphere, you know, at least updated them, well, then, you know.
Well, what was that, on the Science Channel?
Yeah, that was on the Science Channel.
Yeah, well, you know, once they buy a documentary, they're going to keep it in rotation for a long time.
Yeah, I know, but still, there's a Science Channel, and if they know something is factually incorrect and they're still showing documentaries claiming it, well, then, you know, hey. That's
yeah,
really the
but,
Science
you
Channel.
Know, here's the problem. The problem is there is data that seems to support the conditions being as we've been told, but there is data that seems to fly in its face like that cyclone.
Well,
it's a big mystery. I mean, which is right?
Well, we can see the cyclone.
That's a good point.
You gotta believe your lying eyes, you know, or what you're told. So
I gotta believe my lying eyes.
I think that's just old stats and like BS stats. It doesn't sound right at all. Like I said, it's exactly the opposite of here. And, you know, if there's supposed to be that much water, you know, but like I said, maybe it's the beginning. Who knows? Maybe the water, you know, it thawed out because of whatever's putting the pressure on our solar system. And then the, you know, natural terraforming happens, and you know, maybe that's what that forest is. But if there's a forest, you would assume it took a while for it to grow, you know.
Yeah. Now the photographs of the trees, they're gigantic, absolutely gigantic. And these photographs are the ones that caused Arthur C. Clarke to say the debate is over. There is life on Mars.
Well, you know, we should have stopped thinking it's that big a deal. I mean, it's a couple of planets over, and we're covered with water. So finding out that there was water there or there is water there really isn't that amazing, really. I mean,
yeah, but I'll tell you, the thing that will be amazing is whenever they finally say, you know what, we found life on Mars. And but see, that's why the water is important. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. It is open line. I'd like to know what you think about this water on Mars business or anything else that's on your mind, as long as it isn't politics. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All righty. 1-623-581-5148. You know, this thing about the water on Mars is important because of this. Whatever, if it's there, and they say it is, well, then the conditions exist for life as we know it. I don't think you have to have life as we know it. You can have life as we don't yet know it. But with water, you can have life as we know it. In other words, you can have the kinds of microbes and plants and whatever that we understand. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Millie again.
Yes, Millie.
I've been listening, and I just wanted to say, you know, ever since this whole Phoenix landing thing started, I always failed to see the logic in them landing on the North Pole. I mean, when they could have landed by the equator, where they were sure if there was any water there, that they would find it there in liquid form because it's warmer. And if they were going to find water there, then they will. If there was any life, they would find it there.
Well, see, here's the deal. All of the satellite data said that there was a massive amount of water, probably as ice, at the North Polar region. And they were in search for water, so they went to where the data said they should be able to find water. So, you know, the satellite data that they had told them that there should be a whole lot of water right where they landed.
Whoa. And how could they just pass all the juicy stuff, you know, like the Cydonia, you know, and pyramids and all the other stuff that we know that's there? How could they not just be tempted to go there? You know, we're sure that is there. You know, go check it out, inspect it, you know, see what it is instead of, I don't know, that's what I would do.
Well, maybe when
I already know it's there.
Yeah, maybe when they send a manned mission to Mars, perhaps they will explore the Cydonia region. Who knows? That would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if they do that, I want one of the astronauts to take a photograph, to take a picture, while standing on the nose of the face on Mars.
Wow, right? That would be great.
It would be awesome, wouldn't it? Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
All right. All right, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. Today, the news came out that as they have continued to analyze the soil and water sample that they did analyze previously, you know, the one that where they said they can confirm there is water on Mars, they found that this sample contained something called perchlorate. Now, do you know what perchlorate is? They said, you know, if there's very much of it, that could be really, really bad on conditions for life. Do you know what perchlorate is? Perchlorate is it occurs naturally here on Earth, and we also have man-made perchlorate. And it is used as an oxidizing agent in rocket fuel, in solid rocket fuel, and in fireworks. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, Kevin. I just dropped one little bug in your ear.
Drop the bug.
When he said the soil on Mars is the same stuff we have in our backyards.
Yeah.
Do you realize what it takes to create that soil? It takes insects. It takes all the biological stuff that goes on to create soil.
Yeah, soil is rotten stuff that died.
Yeah, guess what there is on Mars?
I had not thought about that, Brent. I appreciate you calling.
Okay, bye.
All right. That's a good thought. Yeah, if the soil is just like the soil in your backyard, it's got to have organics in it. And they said it's just like the soil in your backyard. Now, today, they're saying, hang on, maybe not. It's got perchlorate in it. I did a little bit of checking on that after I read that article, and I found out that perchlorate occurs naturally here on Earth, and then also there is man-made perchlorate. It's sort of like acetyl salicylic acid. That is commonly known as aspirin. Did you know it occurs naturally in a certain type of tree bark? But also we know that pharmaceutical companies manufacture it. So you can have it both ways. You can get it naturally or you can have it manufactured. Well, the same is true with perchlorate. It is used as an oxidizing agent in solid rocket fuel and in fireworks. And that means it's used to make the burn happen faster. The faster the burn, the greater the thrust. And so that's what it's used for. But I also found out that, you know, when we're talking about could life exist on Mars if it's got this perchlorate, my goodness, I mean, it is a mineral. It's a salt. And if this perchlorate is up there in the water and if it's in the soil, could life exist? Well, life exists in the United States, and there are 25 states. That's half of the United States. You know there are 50 states, right? Half of the United States has perchlorate in the water. And we're existing. Our plants are existing. Our animals are thriving. And we have perchlorate in the water in 25 states. So I don't see this this new announcement about the perchlorate being in the sample that they used to say, yes, indeed there is water. I don't see the presence of perchlorate as being a life buster here. Now, you know, you got to ask yourself if maybe where they scooped up this sample that confirmed that there is water, maybe there could be right there a concentration right where the Phoenix lander landed. You have to understand that you cannot say that because there is this or that in the soil and water there, that it's that way all over Mars. If you were to go to the, let's say you were from another planet and you sent a probe to Earth and it landed right at the edge of one of the tar pits, the old Bouret tar pits. And it scooped up some tar and it analyzed it. You could not say that the Earth is uninhabitable because it's all tar. So whatever can be said about the Phoenix lander can only be said about the few feet around the Phoenix lander. You understand that, right? And Mars, although not as big as Earth, is a big place. So we can only say, for instance, that there is water right there. You can't say that it's everywhere else. Now, the cyclone kind of shouts that there's liquid water, and a lot of it, lots and lots of it. The scoop on the Phoenix lander just scoops dirt and ice from right around the Phoenix lander. And so whatever the composition of that soil, whatever the composition of that ice, can only actually be said to be true for right where the Phoenix lander is sitting right now. But where it's sitting, they're saying, confirms there is water, H2O. But they're also saying there's perchlorate. Perchlorate is also, it was used for a long time, may still be used, I don't know, as a medicinal mineral, or it's used as medicine, to treat thyroid conditions. Now, in excess, it can cause thyroid conditions. But for people who already have a thyroid problem, perchlorate has been used in the past and maybe still is. I don't know. Maybe we have a medical doctor that would call in and tell us about this. But it was used to treat thyroid conditions. What it does if you have long-term exposure to it, though, is it blocks the uptake of iodides in the system and can create thyroid problems as a result of that. So maybe you would not, if they have it in concentration there in a large amount right at the Phoenix lander, maybe you would not want to build your log cabin right there. But again, you really can't say that, you know, what's going on around the Phoenix lander is going on around Mars. Now, I think it would be interesting, and perhaps when we have Dr. Mitchell on, perhaps I will remember to ask about the bands of magnetism that are on Mars. And would that create a difference in the atmosphere and the biosphere in that little bubble of magnetism? I'd like to know that, because if it does, and if it's significant, then perhaps that's where we need to land, and that's where we need to look for life. Because if it's, you know, if it actually does create some difference, then if there are going to be conditions for life as we know it, you know, life as we know it lives in a bubble of magnetism that's worldwide. So perhaps we need to look in one of those little bubbles of magnetism on Mars. But the finding of water on Mars is very, very significant, because and finding it in large amounts. Now, that is why they landed where they landed, because there's the satellite data showed them that there's a big, big amount of water, perhaps ice, water ice, in the region where they landed. Now, they've confirmed it. Well, why is that important? Because, you see, if we send a manned mission to Mars, they can't carry all the water they're going to need. I would say it would be a miracle if they can carry all the water they need just to get from here to there, unless we have some brand new propulsion systems. If we use the standard propulsion systems we have right now, it's a long trip, and carrying enough water just to get from here to Mars will be phenomenal if they can do it. So when they get there, they need to be able to mine water. Just for living, they need to be able to mine water. Well, that region where the Phoenix lander has landed has a tremendous amount of water ice. Secondly, they need to be able to crack the water in order to create fuel. If they have water, they can crack that water and make fuel. Now, they're talking about this is kind of an interesting spinoff. They're talking about these NASA astronauts being able to do that, and they're talking about it in very real terms. They're going to go to Mars. And in order for them to do a mission to Mars, the astronauts have got to be able to crack that water into fuel. In other words, separate the oxygen and the hydrogen. So they can take the oxygen and breathe it, the hydrogen and burn it. I'll tell you why that's important when we come back from this break. Don't go away.
I worry about the little things.
This is the Kevin Smith Show, and I am your host, Kevin Smith. And the telephone line is open. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Susan, and I'm from Canada.
From Canada. Susan, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Well, let's do a little applause for you here. Glad to have you. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, you were mentioning that there would have to be wind to carry the cyclone around, right?
Well, in fact, that's what a cyclone is. It's spinning wind.
Well, wouldn't there be oxygen there then?
One would think so. You know, just the fact that you've got that much water spinning, water is, you know, it's H2O, so yeah, there's a lot of oxygen there.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you, did you check your email this week?
Did I check my email? I check it every day, about, literally about 30 times a day.
Oh, okay. Did you happen to notice one from a donation of $50? Did you notice that one?
I got it, and I will be responding to that this evening. Your ad will be in the K-Files e-zine.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Anyways, yeah, I just, I wanted to call in so many times, but I get nervous when I think about...
Well, now that you've talked to me, I didn't bite, did I?
Oh, well, no, you didn't bite, no.
Susan, I want to thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
What part of Canada are you in?
Western Saskatchewan.
Oh, yes. I long time ago, had a friend that lived in Saskatoon.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not too far away. I'm about 100 miles away from there.
Yeah, and that, well, in Canadian terms, that's not too far away.
No, it isn't.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Yeah, Canada is a gigantic place, huge place, and there are parts of it, many parts of it, that are really spread out from town to town. All right, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And if you have a comment, you don't have to talk about the water on Mars. Something else you wish to talk about, we'll talk about it. I just have a couple of more observations here about that water situation. And I told you I would explain why it is important for us to note that the astronauts, NASA plans for the astronauts to crack that water. They plan to process it, to crack it, and split the oxygen away for life support and the hydrogen for fuel. You know why that's important? Because as they are telling us, not NASA, but as others are telling us, that that technology really is, you know, several years away before we can really do that efficiently and run our cars and our houses on it. As we're being told that, NASA is planning on putting men and perhaps women on Mars using that technology to stay alive and to get back here from Mars. As we're being told it's not a viable option, NASA has made it a core of their plan for getting the first Martian crew through the mission and back to Earth. I'd say the technology has been perfected, or is very darn close to being perfected. What do you think about that, huh? What do you think? I think that when we are told that the technology just really hasn't been perfected to the point where it's efficient enough for us to use, I don't think that's the case. If that were the case, they wouldn't be thinking about using that for a manned mission to Mars. Now, you might say, yeah, but you see, the thing is that that mission to Mars is 20 or 30 years away. And by then, they'll have it perfected. You can't count on that. They could not plan that mission today with that as a core of the operation. If it were just a hope that it might be developed, they're planning the mission now. They're beginning to put the pieces together now, and they're doing so around that as the operational plan. You couldn't do it if all that was is a hope that we'll be able to perfect that technology. That technology must be perfected now, or very, very close to perfected now. What do you think about that? I told you when I was in Kosovo, now in case you don't know it, that was several years ago. I left Kosovo for the last time, I believe was 2001. Yeah, was when I left Kosovo. My last mission in Kosovo. So somewhere between 2000 and 2001, in fact, I believe it was in 2000, I did a show where I told you that NASA was planning, they had had, as a matter of fact, a workshop at Los Alamos, and the purpose of that workshop was to plan a water drilling mission to Mars. Now, some of you who have been listening to this show for a long time will remember that. And you remember I gave you the web address for you to go look at it, because what had happened was they had this workshop. The minutes and notes of the workshop had been posted on the web. Now, since then, that site that I told you about has gone away. Those notes are not there now. Now, I think there is an abbreviated version of it out there somewhere. But you remember, it was pretty interesting because they part of what they had to do was determine what technologies would they use, and it was determined that they would use and this is a quote, successful Russian lunar drilling technology. Actually, the quote is proven successful Russian lunar drilling technology. And I said at the time, who knew that the Russians were drilling on the moon? Who knew? We haven't heard about that. Even till today, we haven't heard about it. But it was in that notebook. So this whole water thing on Mars has been around for years. And why would you go drill? Why would you plan a mission to go drill for something unless you knew that it was there? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio again.
Hi, Terry.
I just wonder, you know, saying about our technology, You know, we got that billionaire Bronson is his name, I believe, from England.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which, you know, he's throwing spacecraft together that's supposed to take us up, into space, like it's, an airplane ride. And if this gentleman, can do this in the open market, I can't believe that, we're still riding firecrackers.
Do you know that the spaceship that Sir, what is it? Is it Richard Branson?
Yes, sounds right.
Yeah. The spaceship that he is paying for is based on the one that Burt Rutan developed, and you remember they won the X Prize. They flew it into the into space and then returned safely to Earth twice. And it's based on that.
Do you know that?
Yeah, and that in fact that's who's developing it is Burt Rutan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, do you know what it uses for fuel?
No, not really.
Old tires.
I know he said it's totally pollution free and stuff, environmentally compatible.
Well, then it's got a different propulsion system, because the one that Rutan won the X Prize with actually used old tires.
Huh.
Yeah.
So it's, I think there's way more to meet the eyes in the United States that, could, really amaze people.
Well, do you see what I'm saying about they're planning this mission, and part of the core of the operational plan is that the astronauts will mine the water ice. They'll use it for drinking and life support. And part of the plan is that they will crack the hydrogen and oxygen apart and use the oxygen for life support and the hydrogen for rocket fuel to come back on. Now, that's a part of the core of their plan. Now, if that's their plan, that technology must be perfected or very close to it.
Yeah. I can't believe we're farther than that, though. It just amazes me. Like that one caller said that, why are we landing out in the desert, looking for water when, we see, pyramids and, faces on them, that's, where I'd want to go.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to send men, and I mean that in the generic sense, humans, if you're going to send humans to take a look around, they have to have water.
Yes.
And so you've got to find it.
Yeah, I know it'd be, depending on their propulsion abilities, they, sure can't take everything with them.
Well, that's a fact. Water is heavy, and anybody that doubts it, get a 5-gallon bucket of water, fill it with water, and just carry it around all day and see how heavy it gets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's very heavy, and I there's no way that they could take enough water to do the whole mission.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I was wondering, you might mention to the guest when he's on, I've seen, listened to a recording from the moon, one of the landings. I don't know which astronaut it was, but he was seeing something, and he's going, "Oh my God, what is that?" And, Cape Canaveral was saying, Tango Bravo, we know about that. Turn around. And he was still freaking out about, What is that? And,
if I'm not mistaken, that was Apollo 11, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first ones there.
About that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I'll make a note to ask him about that.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Kev.
You bet.
Bye.
And we have an open line, and the telephone number is 623-581-5148. 623-581-5148. We're about 45 seconds away from break. But, this water thing
is really crucial. I, you know, you cannot even begin to think about a manned mission to Mars unless you can solve the problem of water. That now, if you have water, then you can use water for fuel and for oxygen. But you have to have copious amounts of water, liquid water. And if, like I say, if you do, you can do a mission. If you don't have water, you can't do the mission. Now, the only possibility would be a different propulsion system where they can get over there in about an hour or two. Then they could probably carry enough water to do a mission. All right, folks, we've got this final break, and when we come back, we'll continue with your calls. 1-623-581-5148. We'll be back right after this.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
It's the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I see. All right. The telephone number is 623-581-5148. For those of you who are new to the show, you probably don't know, but we don't answer any incoming calls during a break. And when we do answer, you know, because your telephone stops ringing, or our telephone stops ringing in your ear. That means you're on hold. Just stay there, and we'll get to you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Paul from New York.
Hi, Paul.
You know, NASA knows where to go to find real intelligent life on Mars. I mean, not just microbes. And I think it was 2007, they found some kind of Martian cave dwellings that they say are football-sized caverns that could be up to 125 feet deep and can harbor life.
Football size or football field size?
Football field size.
Yeah. They found 10 gigantic, almost perfectly round holes in Mars. No, seven. Seven, I think it is. And we did a show on that. I had Walter Bosley on, and Walter, you might remember, had written a book back when he was still working for the FBI, and the book, it was fiction, and it talked about subterranean life on Mars, and he said that he was told by his mentor, don't even think about publishing that book. And when he asked why, he said, well, it's closer to the truth in some things than you may know. That doesn't necessarily mean, and Walter did not say that it means, that there is subterranean intelligent life on Mars, although I think he said that he thought the probability was pretty high. Do you think that there is intelligent life on Mars?
I do. I think there was past intelligent life on Mars, and I think there's past intelligent life on Mars now. I mean, the anomalies that are there, bases that are there that were shown that are kept hidden. In my opinion, there is intelligent life there. I mean, if you look for it, the evidence is just there. It's just something that the government is just hiding from us.
Why would they do that? In your opinion, I have my opinions as to why, but what are yours?
My opinion, Kevin, I really think it's for religious reasons. I think that if we found out that there's another race, I think it would just create a whole big religious, maybe, war in this country. Whose God is who? And, I mean, we're killing each other over that right now, over religion, with this terrorism and whose God is right and whose God is wrong. And I think that's what they're... I think it just comes down to religion.
Well, you might be right. It's difficult for me to understand why anybody would want to kill somebody else over whose God is right. And yet we know that's been going on for centuries. It's going on now, but it's been going on for centuries. And, you know, I got a feeling if anybody's God shows up on this planet, he's going to be really ticked that people have been killing other people over which God is right. I just think that's going to be something that really ticks this God off, whichever one of them shows up.
Yeah. Did you read the Lost Book of Enki by Zachariah Sitchin?
Yeah.
He mentions that the face on Mars is actually a Nibiru king. I think his name is Alalu, and he's buried underneath the face on Mars. He mentions that in the book. I don't know if you recall it or not.
I wonder how he knows that.
Well, he got it from the Sumerian scripts.
Right.
The Anunnaki supposedly, you know, told the Sumerians, and it's written in scripts, text that he has, and that he's interpreted. I don't know if anybody else has interpreted it that way, but that's the way Zachariah Sitchin has interpreted it from the text that we have.
And do you think that would be factual? I mean, I know the Sumerian, I'm not questioning Zachariah Sitchin being factual about his interpretation. What I'm saying is, do you think the Sumerians are giving us actual facts, or do you think this is myth and part of their religion?
I don't think it's myth. The Sumerians knew just too much. They were the first civilization on Earth, and for them to know what they knew back then about astronomy, about DNA, it just couldn't have been made up. I just don't see it. In my own personal opinion, that's the only logical answer. You know, Sitchin's theories are the only logical answer to me. You know, that's the way I feel. But, I mean, we have over 1 million Sumerian tablets, and they're right there in writing. So, you know, they were the first civilization out of the Stone Age.
Yeah, they were the first city dwellers. And you know what's interesting about them? Aside from their knowledge of the cosmos, what's really interesting about the Sumerians is we don't really know where they came from, and they don't have... as you dig into their cities, the archaeologists dig into the cities, they should start, you know, at close to the top of the dig is the end of that civilization. And then you dig back into their golden period, and then you dig back beyond that to where they were building up towards the golden age, and then you dig back further down, and you get into where they were just little villages.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't exist with the Sumerians. They were cities full-blown right from the start.
Yeah, well, they, you know, were created by the Anunnaki. According to their religion, they were created by the Anunnaki with DNA manipulation. They were made from clay tablets according to what they wrote down in their texts. And, you know, I'm sure you know the story of the Anunnaki coming here for gold and needing a slave race to mine the gold. And with the with what was here, I guess the caveman that was here, they took their genes and spliced them with the Anunnaki genes and made us.
Well, yeah. But the supporting evidence for that... If we look at is there possible supporting evidence, it I think is in the archaeology, and that is that there is not a ramping up towards a golden age. It starts out as a golden age, and there's not a period of time when they were hunters gatherers and ramping up towards that. Paul, I've got to go. We're at the end of the show.
Great talking to you.
All right, thanks for the call. It's been an interesting evening. You've made it happen, and you always do. It's going to be an interesting week here, and it always is. So you don't want to miss any show this week. There's always, if you miss a single second of any show, you'll miss a universe of information. Think about that. All right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow. So long, everybody.